Coming up on The Potter's Touch.
I want to talk to you about desperate faith. The kind of faith that will cross lines, break rules, make you reach out, cross generations, break down barriers. Whatever you got to do to get a breakthrough, you have to have that level of desperate faith. Now, if we only see this text through the lens of a desperate mother seeking help for her daughter, though that is what she is, if that's all we see about the text, we will do an injustice to the text. It's obvious that though she wasn't a follower of Jesus, she had been an observer of him, like my friend was. She knew who he was. Jesus, thou son of David, is not, that's a messianic greeting that normally a Jew would give to the Messiah. She is not Jewish at all, and yet she is familiar enough with the lingo that she speaks Jesus' language. She had been an observer of him. She knew exactly who he was. She was desperate enough to cross the line of her tradition. Desperate enough to cross the line of her tradition. And you know something? God can't do anything with you until you get desperate. You have to understand that desperate situations require a desperate response. And this morning, I want to talk to you about desperate faith. I want to talk to you about desperate faith. Desperate faith, not passive, religious, superficial, traditional, self-righteous, pharisaical faith. I want to talk to you about desperate faith. The kind of faith that will cross lines, break rules, make you reach out, cross generations, break down barriers. Whatever you got to do to get a breakthrough, you have to have that level of desperate faith. Now, you have to be radical, and you may even have had to live a while to know what desperate faith is. Because sometimes, if you haven't lived a while, you haven't been desperate. See, when my kids were little, they weren't desperate because they were discipled. They had everything they needed. It was our job to make sure that they weren't desperate. Maybe when they grew up and got out on their own, they got a little desperate because those bills start coming in your name. That house payment comes in your name. And all of a sudden you get a revelation that milk doesn't just appear in the refrigerator by magic. And so you stop leaving it out on the counter for 3 days. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Let's be real. Are there any desperate people listening at me today? You've gone through some things. You understand some things. You've endured some things, and you need God to help you get through some things, and you're going through some critical things right now. You didn't come to church this Sunday because you got a cute dress. You didn't come to church this Sunday because you got a new suit and you want to show it off. You didn't come to church this morning just to see what's going on. You're not logged onto this broadcast because you don't need to wash your clothes and you don't have nothing else to do and the kids ain't pulling at you. But you're desperate enough to be engaged in God in a way that's different from other people. Some of your other family members may be playing in the house. Some of them may have went out to play golf. Some of them might be shooting hoops. Somebody might be doing something else. But as for you, you're stuck in front of this screen because you are looking for a word from God. You're looking for a word from God. Somebody shout desperate faith. Desperate faith isn't passively blaming God for our own choices and mistakes. A lot of times we blame God for things that we did to ourselves. I've been believing God for 3 years to get out of debt, and he hadn't come through for me yet. He didn't get you in debt. Let's first assume responsibility that your behavior brought you to the place that you're in, and stop blaming God like God failed you for not being codependent in your cycle of dysfunction. Because sometimes we use faith because we want God to enable us to remain dysfunctional. And he doesn't answer us a word Because until you fix your habits, he's not gonna pour more resources into a dysfunctional system. I know I lost a few people on that. But I'm just sick and tired of people saying, I tithed and it didn't work. I gave a couple of Sundays. I threw a $20 bill on the altar and I was expecting my $1 million breakthrough. Why would God give you $1 million when you ran through $1,000? God wants you to be faithful over a few things before he makes you ruler over many. I know I wouldn't get much shouting today, but that's okay. Desperate faith isn't sitting idly by in despair, waiting for a divine miracle to replace human effort. I'm believing God for a job with my remote control in the hand. I'm believing God. I prayed 3 times for a job and the Lord ain't answered me. I don't understand what's wrong. God ain't gonna never answer you because faith without works is dead, being alone. You got to get out there and get your hustle on, sister girl. You got to get your hustle on. You got to get out there and make it happen. You got to make it do what it do. And if don't nobody hire you, you got to make t-shirts, candied apples, hot dogs. I don't care what you got to do. Rib dinners. You got to be about your father's business and then ask God to bless the works of your hands. The Bible said whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And if you're not doing anything, you're not giving God anything to prosper. No, he's not coming in your living room. Boaz is never gonna ring the doorbell while you sitting in the house in your house coat and your hair in rolling. My Boaz is coming. You better hope he don't. If he come, he gonna leave. He gonna get up out of there as quickly as he can because you're not ready for Boaz. You ain't Ruth, don't expect Boaz. Desperate faith is not us manipulating God to serve our agenda. I want you to help me do this. I want you to help me do this. I want you to help me do this. It's not about getting God to serve your agenda. It's about getting you to serve God's agenda. When you get on God's agenda, you'll already be blessed. Instead of creating something separate over here and asking God to bless something that he didn't create, what you really want God to do is find out what he's doing, do what God is doing, because the blessing is already on the purpose of God. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Desperate faith is not rejecting God's decision because of personal pain. To say, I got desperate faith. I'm just believing God that mama's gonna live. I'm believing God that she, I understand that. I've been there. I understand that. But God is still God. And you have to pray a kind of prayer that says, Lord, I want my mother to live as long as she possibly can. But if you decide that you're gonna take her, I have to trust you. I have to trust you. It hurts, but I trust you. I don't understand it, but I trust you. I'm in pain, but I trust you. You know what's best for me. Just give me the strength to stand what hurts in my life. I told the Lord, I told you this last Sunday. I told the Lord, I said, listen, I want my mother to keep on living, but if you give me 90, I'm going to ask for 100. And if you give me 100, I'm going to ask for 110. And if you ask me for 110, I say, how about 112? I'm going to be like, 112, 112, 112, going once, going twice, when can I hear 115? Can I get 115? Can I get 115? 115? Anybody got 115? 150? 120? 120? I'm going for 120, 120, 120 over there. God, I believe it, but 120. Because I'm greedy. I got a greedy love. When I love you, I love you. I really love you. Sometimes I wish I wasn't like that. When I love you like crazy. And I want you to stay forever and ever and ever and ever. And I had to learn that keeping people when they're in pain and when they're suffering and when they're hurting is not a matter of great faith. It's great cruelty. it took me a while to finally say, I would rather be in pain and her be in peace. You have to grow a while to get to that. Then for her to be in pain so I can be in peace. It takes a while to grow to that. And I just want to tell you what desperate faith is not. Because a lot of people come to church because they really think that faith is like witchcraft. That you can make it do what it do. You can make it do whatever you want it to do. You can just kind of believe God's until you believe somebody else's husband away from them. I believe in God. I know he married, but I believe in God. He not supposed to be married to her. He not happy. I'm believing God. That God. They say God real big. God. G-A-W-D. God. God. I believe in God. I don't care how much you believe God for my wife. You can't have her. Yeah, that's a lying spirit from the pits of hell. That's a demon spirit. And we got to cast that out. Because she's already taken. So ain't no need that you believe in God for no Serena and Jakes. Believe God for your wife. Go out there and do the hard work, get your own wife. Leave mine alone. The thing that made this woman desperate is that she had a devil to fight. Is there anybody in here that has a devil to fight? I mean a nasty, old, relentless, vicious, wicked, tenacious devil to fight. You got a devil to fight. And you can't afford to have no cute religion. You got a devil to fight. You can't afford to be steeped in tradition. You got a devil to fight. And whatever it takes to beat that devil out of your house, out of your life, out of your body, out of your mind, out of your emotions, out of your family, out of your children, out of your circumstances, you got a devil to fight. That's why you come to church when you're dressed up. You come to church when you're dressed down. You come to church when your nails are done. You come to church when your nails are broken off because you a desperate woman. You a desperate man. You got a desperate fight. If they don't tell you to praise the Lord, you gonna praise the Lord anyway because you desperate. If they don't tell you to clap your hands, you gonna clap your hands anyway because you desperate. Ain't no need to sit beside somebody that's not desperate because they ain't gonna like you. You gonna get on their nerves. You keep jumping up. You keep making noise. You keep crying out. You keep seeking the master. You keep calling on his name because you desperate. I want some desperate people. I want some desperate people. Type it on the line. Let hell know I'm desperate. The more you hold on to what is normal, the more you let go of what is possible.
Faith is jumping in the water. Ego is, if I don't understand it, it doesn't exist. To think we can reduce everything to our level of understanding is ego on steroids.
You will be challenged to go to the next level of your life.
You need to be here 2024. You need to be in the building.
If I keep carrying you, you will never stand up. I love you so you can discover I can do this by myself. I love you enough to let you discover the liberty of deliverance, but deliverance is disruptive. She was not a Jew. She was not even a Christian. She was a desperate mother who had run out of options. None of her idols or her pagan deities had relieved the suffering of her daughter. If they had, she wouldn't have come. The day-to-day suffering of her daughter, she obviously loved, had brought her to a place of breaking past her traditions and seeking deliverance from Jesus, a God she had never met. She draws closer to Jesus and says, Lord, help me. Help me. I'm through with titles. I'm through with honor. I'm through with protocol. I just want some help. Lord, Lord, help me. And she put Jesus in a dilemma. She put Jesus in a dilemma. He says, almost as if he wasn't even talking to her, it's not right what you're asking me to do. It's not protocol. It's not the way I planned it. It's not the way it's supposed to happen. It's not supposed to be like that. It's not appropriate. It's not my assignment now. That's not what he told me to do. He told me to come to my own. And I'm not through dealing with my own. You dealing with your daughter and I'm dealing with my children. Your daughter is grievously vexed with the devil and my children are vexed with unbelief. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I said. Both of us got child problems. And how am I supposed to deal with your child and I can't hardly fix my own? It's not meat. It's not meat to give the children's bread to the dogs. I'm still trying to get them to eat the bread. I'm trying to get my child to eat the bread. You telling me about your child? My child in trouble too. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. Tempted in all points like as we are. You got a troubled child? He said, I do too. It's not meat to give the children's bread to the dogs. And the woman blew his mind. She said, yeah, I'm a dog. In the Bible, a dog meant without covenant. I'm a Gentile. I'm an idolater. I'm a dog. But even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She says, I will settle for what your church wastes. Your children waste enough glory to heal my daughter. Listen at them at the bargaining table. It's like the woman and Jesus are at the bargaining table at a good conference table where they're arguing their positions. And she says, you know, my daughter's grievously vexed with a devil. He said, I can't do nothing. My children crazy too. I'm trying to deal with my own children. It's not me to give the children bread to the dogs. She said, yeah, I may be a dog, but even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And with that, she broke him. Her humility broke him. Her inability to be insulted broke him. Sometimes you can't get your miracle because you're too proud. I'm talking to somebody, I don't know who I'm talking to, but God has you online for a reason. Your pride is killing you. That woman didn't argue with Jesus about calling her daughter. She said, truth. True, I done done some mess, Lord. True, I have not been the picture of morality and integrity and honor. But I'm desperate. I'd be a dog, but can I ever crawl? Her indictment is as much against our waste as it is his power. She says we waste sermons that would save the world. Messages that would stop guns from going off. We waste them. She said, I could get healed from the crumbs. I can get healed from what your children don't even pay attention to. Leave the bread on the table for your kids. I'll sit in your lap and catch the crumbs. In the days of Jesus, they had what was called lap dogs. And they would sit in the lap of the master and look up and catch the crumbs. She says, I'll be your lapdog. If I can get a crumb of what falls from the master's table, my daughter will be healed. And the disciples said, sit away! She cried out to us, it was never about them. Because she knew that what she needed, only God could do. And the Lord told me if I would preach this, he would minister to some people who were going through something that only God can fix. And the Lord said, he's seen your desperate faith. Your radical tenacity, your relentless pursuit of him, and your refusal to let anybody run you out of church. Your refusal. You came if you had to get a ride, you came. You came when you had money, you came when you didn't have money. If you had to wear a mask, if you had to take a shot, if you had to get a test, whatever it took, because you're too desperate to be cute. And God said, I've not founded a workshop. I've not found this kind of faith amongst my own. Her faith, not her feelings, not her emotions, not her attitude, not her beauty, not her intellect, not her sensuality. Her faith. He said, I cannot deny you. because you have so much confidence that I'm able to do it. Woman, you have desperate faith. And I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but to get out of what you're into, it's going to take desperate faith. And that self same hour, that self same hour, not later, not when she got back home, not when she took an anointed rag and put it in the bed, that self same hour, her daughter was made whole. There are some things that God said to you that are frightening, it doesn't make sense, you don't feel ready, and yet God's going to do it, and he told me to tell you, it is a faith thing.
Block out the noise and focus on faith. For your gift of any amount, you'll receive the Rise and Shine set, which includes 15 double-sided cards to provide you with 30 days of scripture and inspiration. You'll also receive a mirror cling to remind you to be bold every day. For your gift of $90 or more, celebrate the Easter season with this wooden cross decor piece that declares, "Death has no power over me," in addition to the Rise and Shine cards and Mirror Cling. For your gift of $150 or more, you'll also receive the Arise Shine Microfleece Blanket featuring Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, along with everything else you see here.
You can't stop me! It's a faith thing!
Walk in God's promises every day. Call or click today.
Hello to my brothers and sisters. I thank God for you, first of all, for viewing week to week, day to day, moment to moment, getting messages of inspiration and sending love and support and standing by me in ministry. It has been so meaningful. One of the tasks that God has placed on my heart and in my spirit is to invigorate and to develop entrepreneurs, business owners, people in our community. I want to invite you to Good Soil, not only because we have grants and information and curriculum available for you to get, that's going to be not just an event, but an opportunity for you to download our apps, to attend the conference, to get tutorials when you're in tough places. I got so much for you. You just need to come and be a part of Good Soil, because you are Good Soil, and we've got good seed to sow into what you're trying to do.
Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Touch.